Start up like this, or like this, and hit the start button to flip back and forth. You can make the important things big, keep the small stuff small, and arrange it all around you. You can be all work, all play, or even both at the same time. You can do it all simpler and easier on your Windows tablet, PC, or Surface. That's the new Windows. One experience for everything in your life.
Hi, I'm Stacey Mulcahy. I'm a technical evangelist with Microsoft out of New York City. And we're going to continue on the Marketing Your App series. And today I'm going to talk about the elevator pitch. And more specifically, I'm going to look at infomercials as a source of inspiration and what we can pull from infomercials to kind of craft your elevator pitch. So again, if you need to get a hold of me, you can reach me any of these ways. And I'm just going to jump right in and start talking about infomercials. So infomercials, we kind of all know them, and we're kind of familiar with them. And to be honest, I haven't seen one in a really, really long time. I had insomnia a couple weeks ago, and it was pretty, pretty bad. So, you know, usually you just turn on the TV and start flipping around and that kind of thing. But, you know, TV watching itself has changed so much over the years that, you know, I realized I do a lot of my stuff online. So I went, you know, to the good old YouTube vaults, and I was looking up infomercials. And I was looking up some of the classic, like the ShamWow and the OxiClean and the Slap Chop. And then I got, you know, into the whole rabbit hole, and I was looking at the remixes and things like that. And, you know, I started to realize that, like, with a lot of these infomercials, even though they're a little swarmy and they come across as over, you know, too enthusiastic and super, you know, formulaic, we can take, you know, a little bit of a tip from infomercials and take a little bit of the strategy and a little bit of the formula and apply it to, you know, our elevator pitches and our elevator pitches for our apps or for our games. And, you know, so let's just talk about the idea of an elevator pitch for a minute. You know, elevator pitch is kind of a weird term. I mean, we've all been in an elevator before. We've all seen a stranger. You know, how often do you go and engage that person and have a real, like, deep, meaningful conversation in 30 seconds or however many seconds it takes to ride, like, 9 floors, for example? All right, like, we don't really do that. But, you know, the whole idea behind the elevator pitch is you walk into that elevator, you're in a space with someone, you have an opportunity to interact with them, and you have a very limited time, so you need to get your message across. And so you need to engage them and then sell them on something. And so, you know, when it comes to the elevator pitch, it becomes kind of a difficult task for a lot of people. Because, you know, even if you're super passionate about what you built and, you know, you're very enthusiastic and those kind of things, and that comes across, sometimes articulating exactly what your, you know, app or what your game does or what it can do for someone else, like why they would enjoy it or, you know, why it makes their life easier or what its value proposition is to that other person can be really, really hard to articulate. And this is one of those things that, you know, we need to work on more and more and more, and we often fail to do. And so, you know, when I often ask a developer, like, oh, you know, tell me about your app or tell me about your game, I can totally tell the difference between someone who's kind of been through this process and understands how to articulate it and explain it and make me feel like, you know, engage me with their explanation versus someone who's, you know, a little clumsy and maybe, you know, it's not as comfortable doing it. And, you know, rightly so, it's not the most comfortable thing to have to explain. I mean, your work, it can be very personal. It can be very hard to share it, but you can definitely see the difference. And so you really need to kind of amp up your game when it comes to the elevator pitch, because, you know, if you come across as passionate, enthusiastic, and also confident, then that comes across first and your product follows. And so automatically that person kind of, you know, they're interested, they're engaged, and you've kind of got them a little bit, you know, in the palm of your hand, so to speak, and you can be like, okay, you know, they're going to trust that what you're saying about those things is going to kind of deliver. So let's kind of look at the formula a little bit for infomercials and see how we can take some of those things and maybe not some of them, and apply them to our elevator pitch. So usually, you know, when you watch an infomercial, typically you, I mean, we have infomercial stars now, like, for example, you know, Billy Mays. And when you think about how a lot of those infomercials started, it was like, hi, I'm Billy Mays, right? So automatically there is that sense of just trying to build some trust. And often that's why you see, you know, infomercial stars, for example, the same kind of person who might be doing several products. And it's because they're building trust with their user base, right? And so there's got to be that sense of like, you know, making that connection and kind of transferring that trust and being like, hello, you can trust me. This is blah, 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 you know. And so, you know, that's harder to do, obviously, when you're just kind of trying to pitch a project. But it is that idea that, you know, this is the way the infomercials kind of start out, right? And then often what they're trying to do is they're trying to define, and they're trying to define the problem or the pain point, right? And so you get that definition of that problem or pain point. So, hi, I'm Billy Mays, you know, have you ever been in your kitchen and this has happened to you, kind of thing? Boom, defined what the problem is. Because everyone wants something that's going to solve that problem, even if you didn't know that problem existed, right? It's like the container store. You go to the container store, you had no idea that you had organizational problems until you start seeing all of these solutions, right? So it's the same kind of idea. And so then what they do is after they've kind of presented that, you know, pain point, and often if it is a pain point, they've done two things there, right? They've presented the problem, but they've also kind of showed you that they can relate to you, that they're making a connection, that they understand, you know, your life. They understand everything that you're going through. And so, you know, it's that's where it gets a little bit like, wow, that's, you know, very multidimensional there. It's not just about the problem. It's the fact that they understand your problem. And then they present the solution, right? And, you know, however that may be, you know, and sometimes the terms are a little crazy, but, you know, they present what the solution should be. And often what they'll do is they'll relate that solution kind of back to you again, right? So, you know, has this happened to you? And they, you know, go back and they try to figure out like, oh, is there another problem? You know, it's not usually just one problem. It's usually one primary problem and then a couple of little subsets of those, right? And so, you know, then they bring it back to you. And then also, again, present, you know, why that works for this other problem or for this other edge case that could happen. And so they're not only just hitting, you know, the primary issue here, they're also hitting across the board all the audiences, right? And so, you know, the major problem or the primary problem, and if you look at it in terms of your app, it might be the primary task, right? The primary task is this, let's address this. But there's going to be other users who use things in other ways or have other subsets of problems. So let's try to, like, you know, take from that and try to also address them. And so, you know, they kind of wrap subsets in there as well. And then they kind of present it at the end as like an, you know, irrefutable truth. And it's all, and it's kind of hard to argue. You're like, yeah, that's right. If I, you know, if I was underwater and I was scuba diving and I needed to repair my hose, that would be what could do it. You know, if I have stains in my bathtub that look just like that, that's going to be what removes them. And so they, you know, present this kind of irrefutable truth, and it's a safe kind of vague truth. But, you know, once again, it's a little bit irrefutable. Right? Whether or not it's a product for you, it's fine. But for the problem at hand, they've kind of presented it in a way where, you know, this solves the problem. And so that's kind of like, you know, the basic formula of infomercial, whether it's going to be really, really short or really, really long, right? And so a couple things that we can start to take from infomercials in general, you know, based on those formulas and based on how they present those things, is that the number one thing about being or doing an elevator pitch is that time is really precious, right? You're talking to someone, their time has a value on it. And that value is totally subjective to them. And so, you know, someone might have lots of time, someone might have no time, but across the board time is going to be precious. And so you need to be really concise. So, you know, explaining what your app or what your game does and its value proposition and the rest of it, you need to be, you know, as concise as you can and get your message across to them, and keep it short, because you don't know how much time you're going to have with them. And if you have a lot more time and that time kind of comes up after the fact, then, you know, that's where you can kind of bust that out and talk about, you know, questions, or, you know, someone can compare it to something else and you can kind of have those other segues and those other conversations. But you know, the pitch itself just needs to be concise. You know, you got to be respectful of people's time. You know, you're stuck in an elevator. If you're thinking about it an elevator pitch kind of way, you don't want someone to feel like, okay, looking at their watch, I'm done now. Like, you know, this, it's not interesting, it's boring. You know, you really want to capture them. So once again, time is totally of essence. You don't want someone to feel like they have to break out of that elevator because, you know, they're done listening to what you've had to say. You need to kind of snag them with a killer intro. And you know, right at the beginning, it's got to be, you know, something that kind of gets someone's interest. And it really depends. There's a couple different approaches you can do, you know, for this kind of thing. And part of it is just knowing your audience, right? And so sometimes people start with a story. And they'll, you know, start to think about, like, you know, when I was 18 and I was in college, you know, I had no way to communicate with my family. We had one shared phone for everyone, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, 2 weeks ago, I was trying to get a hold, you know, telling a story that kind of frames the product solution, or that frames, you know, that whole experience and how they're going to be able to relate to that really helps. You know, understanding how this has affected you or someone else, you know, you're making that connection once again. You're going back and saying, yeah, like, I understand you. Like, this is where I'm coming from. Have you felt this before? And so sometimes just wrapping that whole kind of pitch around a narrative, creating a narrative around it, will really, really help draw it in, as long as you're, you know, being engaging with it and telling a fairly good story. You got to choose your words wisely. Okay, so, you know, this is where infomercials are a little out of control, and we all know it, right? Like this is going to change your life, and it's revolutionary, and it's innovative, and, you know, for whatever, you know, here's all the features, and we've seen all the skits that make fun of infomercials, and they basically become a caricature of themselves, right? But, you know, there are some things to learn from it. They, you know, obviously present some good information. So if you're going to take that kind of format, just choose your words wisely. You know, nothing is revolutionary, right? Nothing is cutting edge. Like, stay away from those kind of really hardcore marketing terms that people love to use. And really choose and be selective with your words. And so, you know, the whole, like, infomercial thing, but, like, wait, there's more. You know, you got to be really careful with that. When you start talking about your product or your app and your elevator pitch, you need to prioritize. And so you need to prioritize the features, at least. You know, you need to prioritize, what does that person I'm talking to care about? And that needs to be, you know, the key primary feature or task or offering, and just leave it at that, because the rest of it, you know, they'll kind of take from it, right? And so just be careful of, like, adding too much stuff in and what words you use, right? But wait, there is more. You never want to be saying anything like that in an elevator pitch. You know, you want to be real. You want to be very authentic, right? And so part of that can, you know, come across by you telling a story. Part of that can be, like, you asking, you know, starting out, your killer intro can be you starting out asking a question, you know, actually engaging the person that you're talking to. Remember, an elevator pitch isn't, you know, 3 minutes or 30 seconds where you're just going and you know, you don't have something memorized and just repeating it. You are engaging with someone. So you need to kind of, like, come across in a way that's, you know, real and authentic, and often it's to ask a question, it's to get some feedback, you know, it's to use terms that they understand or can appreciate, you know, those kind of things. So sometimes, you know, they say the worst advice you can give to people is be yourself. I'm sure we all know that, but you know, you do, you have to kind of come across a little bit as you know just authentic and honest and real. And that's kind of how you can help build trust in that way. So, you know, you've got some of this stuff down. You've got the idea of, like, how you're gonna start it out. You might ask a person a question and then start to say, well, you know, in my experience, here's something that happened to me. You know, tell them a story. You know, but at some point you're going to have to present, and for most apps at least, you'll have to present the problem, because most apps are task oriented, right? They do something. You use them to do something, to accomplish a task. You use them to buy movie tickets. You use them to check the distance between two places. You know, you use them to see when the bus is coming. You're doing them to, you know, complete a task. And so at some point you need to present the problem, right? And kind of present the problem in a way that they understand or can relate to. And so, you know, whatever that may be, you need to say, like, you know, hey, like, here's the problem that this, that my product or my app is trying to solve. And, you know, that problem might, like I said, it might be one that they didn't really know they had yet. And that's totally okay. Sometimes that's the most interesting, because someone's like, oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I didn't realize that was a pain point, but it is a pain point. You know, I got to rethink this, because maybe I'm not being as efficient as I should be. You know, in this age, we consume so much information. We do so many things on a daily basis that, you know, a lot of times our main focus is about efficiency. So, you know, if you can point out that, you know, here's a problem, you're not being the most efficient about it, you know, then people will be like, yeah, okay, that's right. I get what the problem is. You need to create a connection, right? And so, you know, you see this all the time in infomercials. You know, they're showing someone in their kitchen what happens when they spill spaghetti sauce all over their oven, or, you know, when someone's trying to change the oil in their car and it gets all over them, or, you know, any of those ridiculous scenarios, which some of those times, like I said, some of those problems we didn't even know existed, and sometimes infomercials come across as like making up problems. But you know, if you're creating an app and you're trying to solve something, or you're trying to do something task-oriented, there is something that you're trying to do for someone there. And so you need to create the connection with them. And one of the best ways is to kind of show them or talk about the context, right? Put that item in context. And so, you know, when you talk about things abstractly and you don't really give definite examples, then people have a hard time kind of connecting the dots. You know, you're leaving most of that work up to them. So, you know, giving concrete examples, scenarios, edge cases, whatever it may be, can help create that connection to that person. And they'll start to, you know, put in context of their life, of their workflow, you know, of their enjoyment of apps or, you know, being on the web or whatever, right? You've got to create the context. The only way you can create the context really is by creating the connection. So, you know, once again, like I said, they'll often, the phrase that you hear in infomercials is like, has this ever happened to you? Of course it's happened to you, right? And so it's one of those things where, you know, you never really want to be saying this. You always want to be implying this, right? Like, this has all happened to us. I know exactly what it is. And once again, one of the better ways to do this is frame it in kind of a story. And so we come to the end of kind of, okay, so infomercials have given us some pretty decent, tidbits on things that we can do and we can take towards doing our elevator pitch, right? They show us about, you know, presenting the problem. They show us about how to make the connection with that user, maybe how to address multiple users, right? You know, they show us how to get passionate, enthusiastic about it. Now, you don't need to be up in someone's face and slap chopping something and being all crazy about it or anything, but they do show us that, you know, passion is infectious, right? So you need to be enthusiastic about what you're talking about, or at least, you know, come across like you believe in what you're talking about. And so, you know, if you're kind of looking at a basic formula for, you know, an elevator pitch, you're looking at something like this, and it's going to be something like for the target customer, whoever that target customer may be. And, you know, you need to understand who your target customer is as well as who you're talking to, right? Who has this need, right? This product name is, and it's, you know, wherever it fits, whatever market category fits, that has this key benefit, right? So you've already told someone at that point who you're gearing towards, what their need or problem is, what the product name is, and where it kind of fits in terms of the whole entire market, right? And what its major benefit is. And once again, that's a sentence, right? Two sentences. And then you know, you can further it by going like, unlike the competition, so it shows that you're very aware of what's going on. So if anyone wants to make any comparisons, that you can speak to those comparisons, right? And that, you know, here is a unique here's the unique value proposition, right? Here's what kind of separates it from the rest of the competition. Now, not saying that this is the sentence structure and the phrasing that you should go ahead and take, but it gives you a sense of like kind of the things that you need to be able to communicate. So you really do need to be able to say like, you know, I'm gearing this product towards these type of people, and I think it solves this kind of a problem. And you know, it belongs in the hospitality industry, it belongs in the health industry, it belongs, entertainment, whatever it may be. And it's not the same as these other ones. You know, I mean, I don't know if you want to put direct competition necessarily in your elevator pitch, but you can, right? Because you know that question's going to come up. Someone's going to be like, oh, so is it a Foursquare for Groupon that, you know, does whatever? You know, people always like to have that context, because if you think about when people, when they say that, they understand the one key benefit of each of those products, right? They understand that Groupon is for coupons. They understand that Foursquare, you know, location-based, checking in. So once again, when people make those comparisons, it's actually very smart because they understand the key benefit of those things. And so you need to strive to get across your key benefits to those people. So infomercials. Maybe not the best of inspiration. I don't suggest you all go out and, start getting over-enthusiastic and start using all the marketing lingo and all the rest of it. But they do have a nice formula for how you can kind of start and engage, you know, present your problem, present your solution, and kind of wrap it up into an irrefutable truth. Right. And so that's what you need to be able to do in a very short time span. So when it comes to your elevator pitch, you know, some people like to write them down. Some people just, you know, like to constantly practice. I'm not a person who likes to write things down, because as soon as I write stuff down, it becomes too robotic for me and it sounds like very rehearsed. And so once again, I talked about being authentic. You don't want to sound rehearsed or overly rehearsed, because once you do that, you sound like you're dispassionate. So, you know, for me, what kind of works for me is I try to tell as many people as I can. And so I start talking to very different audiences. So talking to a coworker who has a similar level of technical knowledge as I do compared to talking to a family member might be very different. And yet it kind of helps me figure out how to mold that elevator pitch to that audience. Right, so that I'm using the right terms, I'm giving the right stories, I'm putting it in the right context, and I just practice, right? And if I can't say it in a couple sentences, and I can't say it in, you know, 30 seconds, for example, at least what the whole entire gist of it is, then I know that I need more practice. So elevator pitches, have some fun, start practicing, do them early and do them often. Don't wait until your product's done to do your elevator pitch. Turn around to the person in the Starbucks line and say, hey, you know, I'm working on this idea and this is what it is. Remember, the elevator is just a metaphor. It can be anywhere. It can be at any time. Some places might be better than others, but you know what I'm saying. Have a good time with it. Thanks.